Hello and welcome to MedTalks, conversations by medical students for medical students. I'm Deborah and this is my partner Joey.
Welcome to the show, guys.
And today we are back in studio with Ryan and Matt from Docs and Slops, recording our second episode in this three-part mini-series. In this podcast, we're going to be taking a deeper dive into the problems and the issues that healthcare professionals face in our current healthcare system, and what effect this has on them, and also how it affects the patients that we care for as a whole.
Thanks, Debbie. Today's topic sure is a hefty one. I mean, anyone who has been in a public hospital in our beautiful country would agree that our healthcare system is anything but a well-oiled machine. But before we delve into these issues, I'd like to firstly send a big thank you to all of our listeners and welcome them to another episode of MedTalks. We hope that you are enjoying our content. We please ask you to give us some feedback. Give us a follow on our on MedTalksZA on our Instagram page. Slide into those DMs.
Yes, girl.
Yeah. Or through commenting on any platform where we release the podcast, be that Spotify, Apple Music, the Iona, just check out the page. Everything's there. To the Docs and Slops, it's lovely to have you guys back in studio. I'm excited for today's topic. How are you guys feeling?
Yeah, we am too. Systems is all that we're about. We really love systems in healthcare, and we see a big future for systems in healthcare in South Africa and a lot that can be done. Glad to be in studio with you guys again today.
Nice. All pizza, right. And Coke, good refreshments. You know, yeah. All fueled up, eh?
100%.
Gonna make sure everyone's
lunch
fed.
Of champions.
All right, so let's get right into it. So at what point in your journey did you start to be aware of issues in the healthcare system, and how did they personally affect you as a young student or doctor? Matt, let's start with you.
Sure.
Put you on the spot there.
I was going to say, these are Rhino's questions. Rhino, I just sit and listen. provide the comic relief with time to time. I actually do think Rhino should start with this one. Because he was the first one at Varsity and the first one exposed to this.
Yeah, 100%. So I think the first time that we started really experiencing it is when you start rotating through your clinical time in the hospital. So for us at VITS, mostly third year onward. And you start seeing as you go through the hospital that there's, you know, system failures here and there. And slowly you start becoming aware of it. You start becoming aware of the effects that it has on patients, and slowly start becoming aware of the effect that it has on the doctors and the healthcare workers too. And I think I can think of a few times in particular where I noticed apathy in the healthcare workers, people getting sick and tired of the system and not actually fighting it. And I think often as a young junior doctor, or even as a student, to be quite honest, probably even more so, you notice these system errors and these flaws, and you start seeing opportunities for change. And starting with that, so as you go along, you pick up these little bits and pieces. But I also can reflect back on a very particular lecture. It was a lecture given by a intensivist and an anaesthetist that then went down the ICU specialization. His name was Dr. Liam Brannigan, and I ended up doing an elective with him as well following this lecture. And his lecture was based on safety in healthcare. And it's a big topic on its own, and a lot of the system side of safety that we use in healthcare comes from the aviation industry. And what's interesting is aviation has a brilliant safety record, and medicine has fairly horrific, in fact, an incredibly horrific record. And as much as there's different complexities, and that's an area on its own, I think that lecture was what sparked my interest in systems, and particularly safety systems, but also efficiency systems in healthcare. And that's a lecture, it was one of my favorite lectures as a student, one of the few that I remember very clearly.
And you still have it on your hard drive?
Send it on.
Yeah, please. They only used papyrus back then.
Yeah, this is back in the day before we podcasted the lectures and whatnot. I think it was always a popular lecture, and it was funny. We had some lectures that became very popular, and you'd speak to the guys that were the year above you, and they said, "No, go and listen to this lecture. This is an interesting one." And definitely I passed that message on to Matt and said, "No, this is a guest lecture. Go and listen to this lecture. It's really interesting." Mm. And that's for us partly where the journey started. And then it's continued as we've gone along. I think every day you see new issues with the system. And some days you feel apathetic yourself, but other days you think of solutions that you could implement to change it. And essentially, Matt and I used to come home from varsity and we'd sit at night, and neither of us wanted to study after dinner. So we'd sit.
That's the worst time to study. Eh? Like, I can't see me eating. All you can think about is chilling.
That's why we had dinner at 4, bro. Study after dinner now.
I need to start doing that as well.
Done for the day.
And if you've had a beer there, then it becomes even more difficult.
No, then it's tickets. Eh? Yeah.
So then, naturally, we would start speaking about what we had faced in the hospital on that day. And we'd complain about the system and why the system this and why the system that. And, you know, you could just change it. If you just change this, you'd be fixing the whole system. And for a long time through our varsity careers, we had those discussions. And I think once we became involved in internship, we started realizing that, you know what, we've actually got the opportunity now to start trying to do something about it. And that's essentially where Docs and Slops was born as well, in that we needed to find a way to tackle the system, and this was our starting point in doing so. So that's pretty much a summary of the story of where we became interested in systems as a whole, and why we started going down this journey.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. Actually.
Profound.
Rana, always dropping the deep lines.
from an aviation safety standard, almost like lecture.
I mean, I really had no idea that it was built on aviation. That's very interesting. That's actually
so there's a couple books that are really interesting if anybody's super interested in that area. There's one in particular, The Checklist Manifesto, which is a really incredible book. It looks at the WHO checklist and where that came from. So before every operation in, I think it's more than 50 countries now, they do a checklist and they say, are there any anesthetic concerns? What is the amount of blood loss, et cetera, et cetera? And that checklist is modified for each hospital, for each setting, to make sure that the standard safety precautions are taken. And the checklist looks at taking away the mundane issues. So it's all things that should be done before in any case, but it allows you to focus on the complexities. And Checklist Manifesto looks at where that was born from, and that initially started in the aviation industry, and it gives the whole history behind that. I won't recite the whole book.
Seems you're well acquainted with this book, eh?
I absolutely love it.
Knowledge. Yeah,
a systems bible. but yeah.
A hypnosis of the plot here.
Yeah, didn't have pictures, so I can't read it.
But it's nice that you've done your research, you know, and it's nice that you know, like...
I come from a background of it, of course. You've got to do the necessary research before tackling something major like the healthcare system.
Yeah. Kind of got to know what you're talking about.
And yeah, in terms of tackling the system, I think the one thing that we've always said with from the start of Docs and Slops is it's not Matt and I and Bron or anybody else. It's not single individuals taking on the system. We're looking at a community approach, at a group approach, and we're definitely still in our infancy of Docs and Slops. There's a lot that we plan to do going into the future, but we plan to do that as a collective. It's only by previously in the previous episode we said how humans are such an intricate part of the system, and you have to have everybody on board to tackle the problem. You can't do it from an individual perspective.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. You do need a collective team effort to tackle this. It starts with one person, but it's about getting more people on board slowly. Like you said, building a community for change. I like that. But this is a hefty question, and I don't even know where you could start answering it. And it's, what are the core issues currently that our healthcare system faces? Where do you start? Because it's kind of such a systemic, almost, illness, if we could call it that. And it's just complication on complication, so... What's the core issue? What's the core illness? What's the bug causing this, guys? How would you answer that?
So
I can see Rano flopping at the mouth. Rano,
Matt, you just sit back, relax,
I love it.
Enjoy the show.
Rano used to cook. I used to just sit there, chow, and listen.
Tell me what you tell
did
me what you think.
Did you do the dishes at least after? Yeah, did you have the deal? You know,
no, we did. Rano cooks like a champ. So
that was a good team effort. No, so, I mean, South Africa is already starting off on the back foot. We've got the quadruple burden of disease, and that's really a tricky thing to start off with. But
the quadruple burden of disease being?
So, let me not go into full detail on the quadruple burden of disease. But essentially, we're faced with the problems of affluency as well as the problems of poverty. Mm. Being a, call it a second world country, we're not a true third world or a true first world country in our setup. We face many different challenges, as well as challenges of our past and broken systems of the past. And so going into our healthcare systems already on the back foot. So that's definitely a challenge, is that our challenge in terms of creating good health is probably bigger than most countries in the world already.
Mm.
But where I think the true problems with our healthcare system lies is in communication, and communication at multiple levels. And as an intern, I think most interns will agree that we often end up doing things way outside of our job description, so to speak, and that's not a problem. By all means, work outside of the scope, but when you're trying to fix the system yourself, it becomes a huge task to fix the system and treat the patient.
Yeah.
And I think by having more effective systems, be it technological systems, be it filing systems, be it administrative systems, by having more effective systems, you're able to have a more effective healthcare. So just like looking at the checklist, where the checklist takes away from takes the mundane mm. tasks and the repetitive tasks away and allows you to focus on the intricacies and complexities, we need to be able to strive to do that with the South African healthcare system. And that's where, from the Docs and Slops side, we come in with the Simplify Healthcare. And as Matt mentioned in our first episode, it's sometimes it takes complex systems to create simplicity. And by using technological advances, be it for booking systems, be it for any part of the healthcare system, you're able to create time to have better responses, better time to talk with the patients, better time to see the human side of medicine.
Mm.
And that's essentially what we... To be a doctor, in the human sense of the word, to be a healer.
Mm.
There's an awesome movie called Patch Adams. It's a fairly old movie, but it's an incredible movie that looks at the feeling of being a doctor and really picks apart, is a doctor somebody in a white coat or is a doctor a healer? And I think that's essentially what we're looking at. And with all of the complexities and the challenges that we face in the South African healthcare system, a lot of the senior doctors, I find, become quite apathetic with the system. They fought for so many years in a very difficult system with very difficult outcomes, and some have become apathetic. There are some
just
who
just accept it.
Exactly. There's some that really stand out that are fighting the system, and there's others that have become tired. And I think as a student or as a young doctor, we go in with all this energy. And
passion, drive, enthusiasm.
100%.
And ready to change the world.
That's exactly...
Haven't been knocked down yet.
And we believe that we can. And that's the foundation to changing the system, is believing that we can.
Mm.
It's by seeing system errors and tackling them that we'll be able to change the system together.
And it really is like such small things. I don't know, like when we first chatted to you guys, like everyone thinks changing the system means, you know, you're going to be changing governmental policy and
kick everyone out,
someone new in. Yeah, exactly. You know, bring in a sub for Department of Health. and you know,
like a sports team, signing a new player, guys.
It really isn't that. I mean, basically, like Rana said, it's about communication, but also small things. Like, as much as we've made epic advances in medicine, you know, like people with robotic eyes that can see, and you know, like the really cool
middle ear transplants and all these things. Yeah,
100%. And like antibiotics, you know, that will like and also measure your blood sugar levels. I don't know, seriously cool advances in medicine.
Transplants and
we're writing chest X-ray forms on like triplicate papyrus, you know. And
we're still
booking clinics in like a handwritten book that no one can read, and
you have progress made in one area, but where's the progress in the admin side, the system side?
And that's where the communication comes in and stuff. And like, you can do like epic work, like you can do such sick work for a patient, but you know, like your notes can get lost in the file. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, cool, well, you've done all this great work, like,
you've treating this patient assessment
for 2 years, and yeah, the patient's treated and stuff, but, like, there'll be no continuity of care because, yeah, because you've now lost that, you know? So,
actually,
there's a lot of small things that
make massive differences.
Yeah, it's not even, like, it's not massive things that need to be addressed. It really is small things that, like, any human being,
yeah,
you know, can actually get involved. Like, you don't need to be a genius to see that, like, yeah, the systems, like, there's, like, the small things in the system that aren't working.
Yeah.
But I think it's also, like, initiative. Like, I think no one's really taken the initiative to just be like, okay.
Whose responsibility is it at the end of the day?
You know? So we're not like, I mean, everyone's like, oh, let's, you know, cure HIV and great, like, let's go ahead. But if your foundation isn't there, like, you're never going to get there, you know?
Yeah.
So if that isn't in place, then unfortunately everything's going to fall apart. So that's kind of how it goes. And what you say about communication is so true. We all get lost in translation.
Yes.
So to just have like one congruent place where we can be like, okay, this is the same. Everyone knows how this works. This is how it goes. Just to have like it centered, I think, is definitely a very good way forward.
Yeah. There was a time that we went on like rural in med school to Bushbuck Ridge. It was an absolute jewel.
That place you drive through on the way to the Kruger sometimes.
Yeah, it's
crazy there. Like, yeah.
It was too early fun. So it was like the highlights of med school with this.
Oh, nice.
And I mean, there was like you go into these really small communities, and you know, like people are walking like 10 km to the clinic. But there's 10 bottle stores around there selling lion lager at 10 rand a quart, you know, and you're like,
it's an easy decision for anyone living there.
Yeah, 100%. And it's like, cool, well, we can, as a South African society, like, we can find a way to deliver quartz to people's homes and, like, doorsteps. Actually, almost. Yeah. But, they don't have access to their HIV meds. So it's like, can SAB get involved and deliver ARVs? I don't know. But I mean, it's small system things like that to show that there are parts of the system that work. You know, and it really is, yeah.
And I think that's partly, we face a very big challenge in South Africa in that the government system is a completely paid for system, in that it's from a financial side of things. Even as a doctor working in the government system, you get your salary at the end of the month. There's not really a performance appraisal as such.
Where is the HR?
Exactly. Where is the HR? And it's not to say, I mean, HR are, they might be working very hard, but they're working very hard because their systems are very poor.
Yeah.
And that's not HR's fault. That's a system error. So it's hard to fix that. And in the end of fixing that, so you eventually end up getting better patient outcomes. But it's exactly that, in that because the system isn't finance based, in the same way that the private healthcare system is finance driven, you lose the drive for efficiency, for productivity, and you actually need very strong leadership to impose that drive, to make sure that there's a prevention of wastage. It's very easy when we're in casualty to use multiple sets of equipment, to burn through equipment, and in so doing so, burn through resources. Whereas in a private setting, You're constrained by the finances. If you burn through those resources, it's your resources that you're burning through.
And there's more accountability there.
Yeah, 100%.
And there's a lot of movement towards that. So NHI looks to focus on that. We won't go into a deep discussion on NHI and the belief in its efficacy, etc. That's a whole set of podcasts on its own.
Do it at a later stage.
But in sense, the per capita billing is very much a potential benefit in South Africa. To look at things on a per capita basis and reward financially for good outcomes, there's a lot of potential in that idea. And it's certainly something that can come at a cost. The American healthcare system is not one which we should aspire to.
Mm-mm.
And that's 100% for sure in a lot of ways. I think even a lot of Americans would say that to us. But nonetheless, a per capita billing system is definitely something that would be a potential benefit for us.
Yeah, so, you know, speaking about like the combination of everything that's kind of gone wrong with our system, and, you know, these are very like core issues that we face, but I think a very important thing that we need to talk about is healthcare worker burnout. So is it something that you guys have personally experienced, and how do you suggest we fix this? Like, where do we start? Come on, Matt, you post-call, let's go. tell us how you're feeling.
We have a primary source right here.
I think Matt being post-call is a very good example. I'm sure he'll be able to... Yeah.
He might be an anomaly. He's pretty good.
He does seem to peak at the 46th hour of being awake. But
Well, you're at your best self.
Yeah. The two brain cells are still connected. healthcare burnout is something that we are very fond or very like an issue that we want to address. And that's also kind of at the core of Docs and Slops, like we said earlier. It's about as much as giving or like sorting out systems so that at the end of the day you can have more time for your patients and also more time for yourself.
In slops.
Yeah, 100%. Like instead of spending 30 minutes running around to find a gelco and a drip set and what, like you can actually spend 1 minute doing that, spending 10 minutes explaining to the patient why they're there, why they're still there, what the plan is, and spend 20 more minutes, you know, watching The Simpsons or listening to your favorite music or whatever, you know.
Doing your thing.
Yeah, exactly. Doing whatever thing you schmuck. So, it's a huge issue, healthcare worker burnout, and I think internship is a time that you really feel it.
Why do you feel it? Like, why? Like, what makes it why are we burning out? Like, what makes
it
that way?
I think going back to what we mentioned in the first series as well, I think nothing can prepare you for the emotional challenges that you'll face as an intern. We get prepared very well academically, and from an emotional perspective, it's definitely challenging. And often you get expected to perform very well at work, which is very understandable. But you might have issues going on at home. We're young people with new families, with new responsibilities, with new challenges, and it can be difficult to juggle things at this time in your life as a young doctor. So I think that definitely, from the young doctor's perspective, is challenging, the multiple challenges that we face. But I think from a burnout perspective, I think, as much as we're the healthcare workers and the healers, we're very bad at healing ourselves. We're very bad at looking after each other, looking after our co-workers. We'll go to huge lengths for our patients, often at the detriment of ourselves, and sometimes at the detriment of co-workers. And I think one of the key things to beating burnout and to tackling burnout is acknowledging its existence, number one. Because everybody seems, there's a large stigma with burnout, and everybody seems very ashamed to feel burnt out. You know, you must be inadequate. Like you obviously didn't study hard enough.
We're like, okay.
You're obviously not fit enough. You obviously, you know, what's wrong with you? Why is something going wrong at home?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the truth behind it. You know, we need to approach it with compassion, approach our coworkers with the compassion that we approach our patients with. And that's definitely something where the system needs to change, and it's a mindset change, definitely something very difficult to tackle. But that's one of the issues in burnout, and I think when looking at it, burnout needs to be prevented if you can. You need to be able to be aware of yourself. I think knowing yourself is a really important aspect of burnout, and knowing when you are burnt out is really important, and then knowing what to do when you reach the point that you are facing burnout. I think those are your three key aspects of it that we can improve on in time. I'm not sure, as med students, have you had any lectures regarding burnout?
No.
Not that I can remember. Not that my class attendance was...
It wasn't spectacular, yeah, not gonna lie. No, we've never... It's not really something that's spoken about. And I mean, I think for us, like, we haven't had exposure. Like, we haven't done, like, our 24-hour, or should I say 30-hour calls yet. So we don't really...
I'm tired after 4 hours. So, like, does it get worse? You know?
But in saying that, med school is stressful. And, I mean, there were times that I remember Ryan and I burnt out, and, you know, the only thing we wanted to do was, like, throw in a stethoscope and, you know, take a drive to Durban at 11 at night and just never come back.
Yeah. So,
you know, go for a really long run.
Yeah. And I'm sure you guys have experienced the same.
Yeah, it's true. I'm sure there's been times, I mean, that you just feel so demotivated,
it's
fatigued,
just very overwhelmed. Just, like, very overwhelmed. Mm. Like, you just kind of, like, I don't know how I'm going to do this or get through this. So I think it's situations like that that can kind of sometimes be intimidating. But I'm not going to lie, like, staying up for like 30 hours straight is a bit intimidating to me. Like, I think
that gives me more burnout than that I've had. Like, just the thought of like I've got to one day be at the hospital for that long, you know?
Yeah, I think, and I mean to do that like once a week, you know, I think for me personally, I know it's going to take a huge toll on my mental health and on my physical health. So I think that's something that I know awaits me. Right now I'm not really sure how to deal with it, but I guess we'll figure it out when it comes.
Yeah, I think going with the blows and learning from experience is definitely part of that experience. There's a lot of self-learning and self-reflection that you'll do through internship, that holistic growth. You've grown so much through med school academically, and you start growing more holistically through the internship experience. But in saying that, I think, yeah, in terms of for any med student, I think to know yourself, to reflect on yourself and say, you know, these are my aspects, this is what my challenges are, and this is what I need to grapple with, and these are the signs of burnout in me.
Yeah.
And once you're able to acknowledge those, at least if you do reach the point, and I can definitely say that I have reached that point before, where you feel burnt out, you're at least able to go down the path and speak to the relevant people, speak to your family support, speak to your friends, and that's where you get back on track again, and also find what keeps you going. Don't stop the things that you enjoy outside of medicine. It's very easy to become solely focused on medicine, and you know, it is an all-consuming profession at times. But if there's things that you enjoy outside of it, keep doing those.
Yeah.
Hold on to your sanity.
Yeah.
Do you think it's almost necessary that doctors are burning out? Like, can we avoid this? Should we be avoiding this? Or is it like, this just comes with the job? Like, this is just with the territory?
I definitely think it's something that can be avoided. I think especially everybody speaks about the 30-hour shifts. Would you get onto a plane in which the pilot has been flying for the last 28 hours and say, ah, don't worry, you'll get me home safely?
And he's got autopilot.
He's got autopilot.
We do have autopilot, trust me.
I haven't activated that mode yet, so how do you activate?
You'll get there, Bruce. Just put drips in random people. And they're like, no, I'm just a visitor. Sorry, Bruce.
Like your arm was just lying there.
You're such a beautiful mate. I thought you were one of us.
So I think definitely that shift work is definitely a way of changing things in the future, and a lot of the more intense departments, especially anesthetics and emergency department, have changed to a much more reasonable shift orientation, and that's been very
promising
beneficial.
To you.
100%. And I think some departments are a little bit further behind in that regard. Gen Surg, Obs and Gyne, and I say that very openly, with all respect to them, but it is definitely something that we could change, because 30-hour shifts aren't humane, as Matt will definitely account for.
Definitely. But I think for me the biggest thing is people burn out because if you had to go back to your 5-year-old self and picture where you are now, you know, either as a med student or an intern, a consultant, prof, whatever, you know, you kind of think, is this the person, is this, you know, 5-year-old Joey or 5-year-old, where 5-year-old Debbie wants to be, you know? And I think you hit that sudden alignment of, like, what you're doing and what your soul is centered on, like, not necessarily in the same place right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest thing, and in work, you get that feeling, because when you get accepted to med school, you're like, yeah, sick, we're going to
my
save
life is
lives.
Set, yeah.
It's going to be so rad, you know, like you're flipping high-fiving your mates, you know, high-fiving patients and stuff on day one.
You're like, look at me, I'm so great.
Yeah, it's lekker and it's hella exciting. And I think you see that, like, patients are in deep suffering, and you spend 40 minutes running around trying to, like, write notes and do this, and you actually don't get a time. You don't get that time to spend with them, and I think that's that part that, like, the 5-year-old in you misses, is, like, just being able to, like, spend the time with the person that you're trying to help, you know? You're like, I want you to, like, from their eyes, they just see you running around, like, not really speaking to them, just writing notes, you know, like, trying to get that done on the phone all the time. You know, getting phoned like 3 times during the clock for like random things that are happening in the ward. And they're like, does this person really care? And inside you're like, shit, I'm trying to show you that I care. You know, like, I'm booking the scan for you at like 12 at night. I ran your blood to blood bank myself, you know. And that's just, I think it's just that loss of patient interaction that we miss, and I think that's the biggest contributor to burnout. You know, like we're humans and we crave human interaction and human, like, I don't know what the word is, like synergy in every interaction. You know, there's always a bit of energy that comes away or gets built up in each interaction. And I think in those interactions, it's just constantly
flat.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's our side is to if you can fix like those small aspects of in the system and have more time to spend with the patient. I really believe that'll fix burnout a lot.
I think another thing that's also really important in South Africa especially is the language barrier. So I think that's something that also I feel almost like occludes me building a very strong relationship or making my patients feel like I really care about them, because we can't communicate on the same level. And that is very heartbreaking to me, because it's like you want to show them that they're doing the best for you, but you can't communicate that to them. Mm. And I think that becomes a huge struggle.
Sign language falls a bit short, or body language. Yeah. You know?
Oh, just playing charades with
trying
people.
To explain an operation. It's a challenge.
That's here.
So true. No, but you're 100% spot on.
Yeah,
it's definitely something that we faced a lot at our hospitals. Helen Joseph particularly has a very big catchment of foreigners. So even languages far outside of the South African 11 official languages, which are a challenge on
already.
And the Google Translate spectrum.
it's a genuine thing. We've often chatted to patients in using Google Translate, because that's what we're limited to. I remember chatting to patients in Chichewa at about 12 o'clock at night. We eventually managed to Google Translate to him that he needed to call anybody that could assist us in translating. And after about 30 minutes, we eventually managed to get through to someone. And as you say, as Matt said, the strain of fighting the system in that regard, to just try and get to that point that you can communicate, it takes a big emotional toll. Mm-hmm. And definitely is a contributing factor to burnout.
Burnout is a symptom of a failing system at the end of the day.
Well summarized.
That's tattooed on your thigh.
You can even go up on the font size.
Game,
yeah. Word art, eh? That would be a nice one.
A cool rainbow color, like old school.
Yeah, with the little wavy and the shadow as well.
Maybe like fade in.
No, all these factors definitely contribute to how we fall short as doctors. And the environment we work in contributes to how we fall short in treating patients. And I think we've discussed that now quite thoroughly.
I think it's a very, I think we've only brushed the surface on...
And this time has flown by, hey? Yeah. It's actually insane.
It's such an in-depth topic. It's a very heavy topic. But I think it's, something that I think we all kind of got to take to heart at the end of the day. And... yeah, well, on the next episode, we're going to start discussing how we're actually going to fight the system and kind of get things on the right track.
Solutions.
Yeah.
Identify problem.
There we go. What's your management plan? All right. Thank you guys so much once again for coming in and sharing your really profound knowledge. I think it's so
nice.
It's
been inspiring.
I think it's just so nice to talk to someone who's really... you guys have really sat down and thought about this.
Lots of discussions. You weren't lying.
Yeah.
That was fleshed out well.
Sometimes it's very overwhelming to kind of even put your thoughts in order. Mm. So it's nice to have someone that has done that for us. Just to our listeners, thank you guys so much once again. I think this is something that all of us can definitely relate to and all of us definitely need to jump on board with. But we'll catch you next time.
Mm-hmm. This is Med Talk signing out.
Bye.